Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, have you ever had to address something or talk about something, maybe with a friend or a family member, and you just knew it was going to go over like a lead balloon? Have you ever been in that situation? Yeah. I hate when I'm in that situation. And so today, about 3 weeks ago, when I started planning for this message, because I do that about 3 weeks in advance, I knew what I was going to preach about. And I struggled because I'm like, I don't want to preach about that because it's such a touchy topic in our culture and society. So I've been fighting it. And even this morning in the shower, I tried rewriting my sermon in my head and the Holy Spirit says, no, you're going to preach it. So what I ask you not to do, number one, is to do what they did to the prophet in the Old Testament lesson. I'd rather not be stoned and killed. If you don't mind, I'd appreciate that. Number two, if you hear something today that challenges you or upsets you, don't blame me because I do not have power over your life, but there is one who does. That's called the Holy Spirit. And I always say, if you hear something in a message or in the Bible that challenges you, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. He's trying to teach you something or open your eyes to something. So allow that to happen. Don't fight it. Okay? Don't be afraid of that. And number three, let's be honest. Sometimes the churches fail to address the issues we really need to address in our culture and society. So bear with me today. I think this is a powerful sermon. It's good for me to hear it, and I hope that you will like it too. So are you ready? Today we're talking about citizenship, and we're talking about it based upon what Scripture teaches us about citizenship. And we know that Scripture lays out for us how to be good citizens in our country, and we'll address that. But we also know that Scripture has one plain teaching that sometimes, at least in the United States, we kind of throw to the side. And it really is evident in a lot of the modern movement we see in churches today, and especially in the modern evangelical circles, that the American religion now takes precedence over the Christian faith. America is increasingly becoming more focused on its own religion and beliefs than it is on what God has said and what God has done. And so we're going to take a look today and step back and say, what does God say about heavenly citizenship and how that reflects in our existence in our country? I think it's good for us to do this in an election year. I also think it's good for us to do this in general. And I think it's also good for us to do this in the season of Lent, because Lent ultimately focuses on how you and I are to interact in this world, how we live in this world as children of God, and how we are to live these repentant lives. So if you will, let's dive into this a little bit and follow me on this journey this morning as we dig into God's word together. Let's face it. Today's society seems to be living the worldly life and enjoying it. I don't know if there's anybody that could disagree with that in here. Right? Today's world, society, seems to be living the worldly life and enjoying it. Many live as enemies of the cross. St. Paul points that out in our lesson for today. You don't have to look far to see people who bash Christianity. You don't have to go far if you're on Facebook, if you watch the news, to hear the world's message and what it says about Christianity. You just don't have to do that. Because the reality is, the world does not agree with what we proclaim. The reality is, when the world sees Christianity today, and this is the American religion rearing its ugly head, what they see is a religion that is self-righteous, judgmental, and forsakes the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they see. Now, I'm not saying that's our fault, because Lutherans tend not to do that, but there are people to blame for that. And it's scary, because we're the ones, the church is the ones, creating this atmosphere where people are denying the church, denying its message, because they see the church as self-righteous, judgmental people. And it's very evident. I've said this before. All you have to do is look on a news post on Facebook, if you have Facebook, Star Telegram or whatever news one, right? And read the comments, especially when it deals with something about faith. You'll see quotes like, oh, here are the Christians again. They're just trying their ugly ploy to take over the country. Oh, those Christians, maybe they should be banned from the country, right? Because that's the reality of the perception we're facing in our culture and society today. Sometimes the enemies of the church living the worldly view is the church itself. How many times do we see Westboro Baptist Church on the news? You know, that's the church that goes around and pickets all the veterans' funerals, all the servicemen funerals. How many times do we see that? How many times do we see churches and pastoral leaders like Jesse Jackson and, well, what's Al Sharpton or whoever it may be leading the front of Christianity, and we who, well, quite frankly, have it right, we sit back and we tolerate that because we have to. In reality, the message the world is getting is not the true message of the gospel. But yet it goes on, because that's what the media wants the gospel to look like. That's what the media wants the church to look like. And so the more these kind of churches take over and proclaim Christianity in our world, the more of that message the world gets. And on the other side of the coin, we have churches who have the message right, but we insist on being comfortable and sitting in our pews instead of getting out one by one and interacting with people to show them the true church. Because the only way people will know the true Jesus is when we go and we interact with them in their lives. Just this past couple of weeks, it's been amazing. I started taking yoga lessons for my health, not for religious reasons, but for my health. And I'm doing it privately because there's no way I'm going to get in a room full of people and do these things and look like I'm a fool. So I'm doing this privately. And the gentleman who's teaching me found out I'm a pastor, right? And so he goes, oh, I'm not Christian. And so we were talking, and I'm working with this guy, and just this week he says to me, how can you be part of such a judgmental religion? And boy, did it open the door for sharing the gospel. We didn't get to yoga that day. We spent an hour and a half talking about Jesus. And he left, as I was leaving, he said to me, that's really Christianity? I said, yeah, that's it. That's what Jesus really is to us. See, the impact of getting to work with people one-on-one, that's where the true gospel is shared. During this election year, to me, it's even scarier that you will find political parties that will stand up and say, if you are truly a Christian, you will vote for this party. If you're truly a Christian, you will vote according to these guidelines. In reality, if you're truly a Christian, you step back and you pray about it and go where God leads you to vote. But you hear it all the time, especially from modern evangelicalism. And it really is a shame. Because if you really want the core of it, folks, there's no one right party. It's not perfect. While most of us would align ourselves with the Republican Party, some of us, and say their values and morals are correct, that's great because they are biblical. But then on the flip side of the coin, if you truly look at the aspect of the gospel living out in our daily lives, helping the poor, taking care of the needy, taking care of the downtrodden, there's a whole other party, the Democratic Party, who does that. So the reality is there's no perfect party. Christians can do whatever they want. We have the freedom to do that. And to let anyone stand up and say otherwise is an abomination of the Christian faith. And to accuse somebody of not being Christian because they don't vote one way or another is even more sinful and dreadful. That is not living as a citizen of heaven. Many live this day and age as if God is their stomach. That's what St. Paul says in the text for today. They live as if God is their stomach. People serve their human appetite instead of serving God. You know words like this, right? Greed, power, self-will, and the one I hate the most, political correctness. That has become the gospel of today. And I purposely, not in a mean way, try not to use it as often as I can. That's the reality. Social gospel and moral gospel. How many times do we hear churches preaching the moral gospel? If you're truly Christian, this is how you will live. If you're truly a Christian, this is what you will believe. Hogwash, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came and died for you and loves you and accepts you for who you are. There's a difference. The social gospel, if you truly are a Christian, you will be out every day and serving the homeless and feeding the hungry because this is what it means to be a Christian. Hogwash. The gospel is about what Jesus has done for you and that's it. That's where it ends. Everything else is simply a response to the way God interacts in our lives by the power of His Holy Spirit. You see? That's how it works. And my favorite today, the prosperity gospel. If you have enough faith and you believe hard enough and you smile all the time like Joel Osteen, your life will be perfect. Nothing can go wrong. These are enemies, folks. These are people filling their own appetites because you know what? It fills their pockets. Because that's the message people really want to hear. They don't want to be in church on a day like today and be challenged on how we live our lives. They don't want to hear that. People don't want that. They want to be told they're good and they're right and everything's perfect and everything can be dependent upon you. Smile. It's okay. Churches and Christians today, this is a biggie. We look away from sin and we're afraid to tell people what sin is. Right? Because if I say you're sinning in your life, automatically I'm judgmental. And you know what? That is true. That's what happens in our world. Because for some reason, we human beings think we have the right and ability to say whether you're going to heaven or not. That's not what God is talking about. When we call people out for sin, it's not me going to a person and judging them eternally. That's none of my business, and that's none of your business. But it's going to them, if we truly love people, and saying, listen, let me show you Jesus. Let me show you how to interact with Jesus and what he can do in your lives. Because if we truly believe what the gospel says, the gospel is the power unto salvation for all who believe, Romans 1:16. If we truly believe that, why would we want to withhold the gospel from anybody, even if they're an unrepentant sinner? This is the reality. Because the only thing that changes people is the gospel, not the law. It drives people deeper away from God. Now, for you and me as Christians, the law doesn't do that. I can come to you as a Christian because I can use the law in that way and say, what you're doing is wrong, wake up. But when you're working with people who do not know Jesus, who do not believe in the gospel, when they hear the law, they hear condemnation, not salvation. You see how that works? And that's how it works in our culture, our society, but churches are not grasping that. Churches are accepting things like abortion and homosexuality as right and true, and how judgmental they are as we stand up and we say that, because in reality, while we as Christians know that is true, we are alienating people who have had abortions, we are alienating people who may struggle with homosexuality, and refusing to give them the very medicine they need in their lives to make their relationship with God whole and true. Because it's only in relationship with God where our lives change. If you are an adulterer or a pencil stealer, I'm not going to withhold that gospel from you. I'm going to lead you to see where you're wrong. But if you're an unrepentant sinner and don't have the relationship with Christ, you need to know first and foremost that you are loved by God beyond all measure, and there is a better calling in your life. Churches like to bash people, hate people, bullying people. You know, there's people today with the mentality, if I go out and hold up a picket sign, that's how I'm going to reach people. Let me hold up the picket sign because I'm self-righteous. I'm perfect. I know the right way. And brothers and sisters, that's not how we reach people. It goes back once again to interacting with people at an individual level where the life of the gospel transforms them into faith people based in Jesus Christ. This is the reality. This is how we change the world. One life and one heart and one soul at a time. Now, I'm not saying if you're a picketer, that's bad. If that's what you want to do, fine. But at least be realistic about it. You're not changing anybody's life. In fact, you may be doing the opposite. Because Christ is only given through the proclamation of the gospel in and through personal interactions of the gospel. You and me being Jesus to people around us. And of course, we have churches that lose focus of the true gospel. And this goes back to the judgmental nature of the church. How many times a day do we hear churches that stand up and will say to people, because you're this sin, fill in the blank, you cannot be a true Christian. Here's the reality of the gospel. You ready to hear this? This is the reality of the gospel. I would rather have a homosexual or a person that's had an abortion or an adulterer in this congregation who admits they need help and who struggles with that sin but has a relationship with Jesus Christ than a self-righteous person who thinks they have their life together and has a false relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? There's a difference. Because when we struggle with sin, we talked about it last week, temptation and struggle, it leads us back to Christ. Self-righteousness leads us into the hands of Satan. That's dangerous. Folks, I'm a broken person. You're a broken person. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. If you knew what I've done in my life, you would say, how can you be a pastor? And the reality is, if I knew what you've done in your life, I would probably say, how can you be here sitting there this morning? But that's sinful human judgment. That's not how God interacts in our world. When God breaks through into our lives, he does it through relationship, loving us, accepting us, leading us to the cross, leading us to repentance by the power of his Holy Spirit. And without the power of the Holy Spirit that only comes in relationship with Christ through baptism and the Word and the Holy Supper, without that, people cannot change their lives. So churches today that block out people because they are sinful are doing harm to the proclamation and message of the gospel. That's why you and I are here, right? We need Jesus. How can we live without him? What would we do without him? And I tell you what, I know my ministry changed when I finally was humble enough to say, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I am a broken human being. And for the first time in my life, I understood the grace of Jesus. The grace that says, I accept you for who you are. Come and be in relationship with me. Well, you will find healing, you will find restoration, you will find love, and you will find forgiveness. It's a balancing act we do, right? It's a balancing act, knowing how to proclaim the gospel and love in Jesus. St. Paul calls us to a much higher calling, to fix our eyes above, to live as citizens of heaven. You see, we live as those who eagerly await the return of Jesus. You know, I hear people say all the time, when you wake up in the morning and you're living on this earth, it's another good day. And I challenge that. I mean, yeah, that may be a good day, but if you wake up and you're in heaven, come on. What's a better day, right? I mean, come on. In reality, what better day can you have? Today's a good day. And the reality is, that's the kind of people we live as, you know? That's what it means to be citizens of heaven. Our eyes are fixed on higher things. Our eyes are fixed on the cross. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, who came into our world to die for us, to forgive us, to open up the kingdom of heaven, to pour out upon us his Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't have to live in this world alone. Our eyes are fixed on things above and a message that says, I love you no matter what. And a message that says, I give my life for you so that you may have life here in this world and in the kingdom to come to the fullest. Our eyes are fixed on above and we live as citizens of heaven. We live as children of God. And what does that mean? We live a life in daily surrender. We live a life that says to God, and this is daily surrender, God, I give up. I can do nothing of my own accord. And how freeing is that? Have you ever tried that? I'm telling you, I have. And it's the most freeing thing in the world to finally say, I stop fighting, God. I stop struggling. I can't do it. But you can. That's faith. That's the power of the gospel in our lives, changing us, healing us, holding us, setting us free to live as Jesus' children in the world around us. There's beauty in surrender. We live as God's children as we realize in baptism we have been made holy. Does anybody know what the term holy means? Anybody idea what it means? If you were in my women's Bible class, you should know. Set apart. Who said that? Very good. Very good. It means set apart. That's what holy really means, right? And God calls us to live a holy life. Now, what God is not saying is to live a perfect life. That's not what holy means, right? It means set apart. So what's God saying? He wants us to live a life that's different than the world around us. He wants us to live a life so that when people see us, who do they see? Jesus. A life that's different than the world around us. Even as American citizens, we relish and joyfully accept the blessings of our country, but we're called to a higher calling to be set apart. And what happens is the deeper we get into our relationship with God, the more we see what a set apart life looks like. God, that's why God gave us the Ten Commandments, by the way. He didn't give them as rules to bind you up. Did you know that? He didn't say, this is the way you have to live or else. The reason God gave the Ten Commandments is he says, you're my children. You're part of my family, so when people see you, I want them to see that you're my children. You're set apart. You act differently. Because of that, I'm going to be your only God. I'm going to be the focus of your life. Because of that, you're not going to go commit adultery on your spouse. Because of that, you're not going to murder, to kill. The list goes on and on. There's 10 of them, right? That's what God is saying. This is how you live a set apart life. And the reality is, when Jesus comes in, God says, you know what? You can't do it perfectly, so I'm going to help you do it. I am going to make you holy. And when you mess up, I'm going to forgive you and continue to make you holy so that when the world sees you, they see me. They know you belong to me. And this is the reality of where we approach citizenship, living in this country, living in this world in light of being a Christian, using the gifts God has given us to bring him glory, loving our enemies, respect. Oh, here's a key one, right? The Bible teaches us this, so this may make you uncomfortable. Respecting those leaders that are over us and praying for them. How often we've fallen short of that and fallen for the American religion of putting down our leaders, balking at them, and failing to pray for them. It doesn't mean we have to like them. There's a difference. But Christianity says we love them no matter what. So that's living as God's children. You don't have to agree. You don't have to like it. But respect and prayer. Loving people enough to call a sin, but walking hand in hand with them. Allowing our citizenship of heaven to be our guide on the way we vote and live as citizens of this country. Standing firm in the gospel and the spreading of its message. These are ways in which we live the life that is to be set apart in the world around us so that the world may truly see Jesus. As we truly set our eyes above, we see the reason we so eagerly desire to live as citizens of heaven. As we focus our eyes above on what Jesus has done for us, how can we not but live a life that seeks to bring God glory? How can we not seek to live a life that upholds the teachings he's taught us? How can we not but live a life that relishes in his love and forgiveness and through great joy goes into the world around it, smiling and showing the world who Jesus really is? It starts with you and me, though, right? It starts in our lives realizing that as citizens of heaven, we're forgiven, we're loved, we're cared for. It starts with loving ourselves as God loves us. Because if we don't love ourselves, we can't truly love God who created us in his image. And that starts at the core of knowing that God loves you more than anything else in all creation. So much so he gave Jesus for you. Let that sink in for a moment. It feels good, doesn't it? It's different than the message we hear proclaimed today. And there's one more gift that God sent to us and gives to us that Jesus provided for us for our daily life. And sometimes we kind of forget about this gift. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay in the city until the gift from on high comes to you." Jesus said to the people, "I am going to send a paraclete, a lover, a helper, a guider to be with you because you cannot do this alone." And we know that the Holy Spirit, the moment we come to faith, whether that's in baptism or through the power of the Word, the moment we hear the Word, the moment we receive the Lord's Supper, we know the Holy Spirit is constantly interacting in our lives to help us to live in this world, to help us to share the gospel, to help us to be set apart, to help us to live according to those wonderful and gracious teachings that God has given us so that when the world sees us, they see Jesus. The Holy Spirit interacts in our lives to keep us in God's salvation so that when we have sinned, when shame overruns our lives, when guilt plagues us, we can go to Jesus and know that we are forgiven without any doubt. And the Holy Spirit leads us into what we call the process of salvation or the process of becoming holy, which is simply the word sanctification. Sanctification is that act of which God works in our life by virtue of faith to lead us deeper into a relationship with him, deeper and deeper setting us apart, deeper and deeper loving us and helping us to live a life that brings him glory. That's a process. Guess when that process is complete? Anybody know? Is it complete in this world? No. Will you ever be holy in this world? No. Does that mean we don't strive for it? No. But on that day that Jesus calls us home, on the wonderful day when we awake and we are in the glorious paradise of heaven, on that day we shall be holy as God is holy. Perfect. No more sin, no more temptation, no more struggle, no more hurt, no more pain, no more tears, no more taxes. It will be perfect. So that's what it means to be citizens of heaven. In Jesus, through baptism, our identity and our lives and our citizenship have been secured. Right before the message, we sang a song that a lot of people don't like, but I like it. Heaven is my home. It's kind of a cheesy song, really, but I like it. Because it's a good reminder to each and every one of us what's really true in our lives because of Jesus. No matter what comes into our lives in this world, no matter what may seek to separate us from God, no matter what interaction Satan may bring for us, there is one thing for sure and for certain because of Jesus. Heaven is our home. That is a certainty we can count on. That is a promise that will not be broken. It is a gift that God has given you right now and for all eternity. There is our hope. There is our comfort. In the name of Jesus, amen.